Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse in the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, which was Parshas HaChodesh, in the year Tavshin Mem Zayin, 37 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the second day of the month of Nisan, a year later in the year Tavshin Memches, which is exactly 36 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse where it says, "Achoidesh hazeh lachem," this month is going to be for you, Rosh Chodeshim, the head of all the months, Rishon Hu, it's the first, the Chol Chodshei Hashana, for all the months of the year. And this is the special parsha that we read from the Torah in honor of Shabbos Parshas HaChodesh. So the Rebbe brings from the Rebbe Rashab, who is celebrating his Yahrzeit on the second day of Nisan, an Chassidic discourse with this title of the year, Tav Resh Ayin Aleph, which is basically over 100 years ago. And his question he asks is, the verse says, "Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim," the head of the months. And then it says, "Rishon Hu," it's the first of all the months of the year. So the question he asked is, why does it say Rosh Chodeshim? It says right afterwards, it's the first of all the months. So what's the purpose of saying Rosh Chodeshim, the head of all the months? The Rebbe Rashab brings the teaching of Chazal based on the verse where it says, "Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim," that this month to you is Rosh Chodesh. And it says, what does that mean? It's referring to the month of Nisan. Now, why does it say Rosh Chodeshim? Because this is the month of Nisan, and there's no other that's the month of Nisan. What does that mean practically? That means when the day comes when it's appropriate to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we know it's Rosh Chodesh, you cannot go ahead and add another month to the year. And that's why it says this day is Rosh Chodesh. That means once this day comes, it's Rosh Chodesh, and we can't add to the year. And he continues on that Chassidic discourse that we learn from this verse, not only can't you make it another month in the new year, but you even can't go ahead and make the month bigger. You can't add a day in the month. Because we know that you can add a month in the year for specific reasons to align the different months, but you cannot go ahead and add a day in the month. And what happens is when the day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, then what happens is we do not go ahead and add another month to the year to make it a Shana Mu'uberet, which is a year that has an extra month in it. That's what he brings. So now the Rebbe says, to understand this, why can't we do it? What's the reason why when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, boom, we're done, we can't add to the year? And he explains with an introduction that we have to understand why does Parshas HaChodesh, this section of the Torah where God is giving us the commandment to establish the calendar, starting with the month of Nisan, so why does this say specifically after we left Egypt? So right away you can ask the question, what do you mean? This section of in the Torah where it talks about establishing Rosh Chodesh was given to us before we went out of Egypt. Nevertheless, in that Chassidic discourse, he says it was given to us after we went out of Egypt. So right away, in the footnote right here, the Rebbe explains that later on in the Chassidic discourse, the Rebbe is going to explain why he calls this why is it considered that we have this Torah portion after we left Egypt, and even though technically it was before. So later on, the Chassidic discourse, the Rebbe puts in a footnote, we'll answer it, and it's actually a beautiful answer, but let's not get ahead of ourselves, and we will get back to that to clarify why that's so. But irrelevant, his point he's trying to make is, why is it that the mitzvah of establishing Rosh Chodesh, and specifically the month of Nisan, why is that after, so to speak, the commandment of going out of Egypt? So he explains over there that the Parshas HaChodesh is mainly, it's actually the beginning of the Torah. This Torah portion of Parshas HaChodesh, it's actually the beginning of the Torah. How's the beginning of the Torah? It's in the middle of the Torah. So he says, we know Rashi says clearly that the Torah really should have started with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. So if that's the case, why did he start off with Bereishis? It's the creation of the world. So Rashi explains the reason why he starts with that, even though he should have started with Chodesh, is to teach the power of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created the world, and therefore, because Hashem created the world, he could do whatever he wants with the world, and he gave the Jewish people the land of Israel. In other words, but the fact is, if not for that reason, where should the Torah start with? The first mitzvah we received, which is establishing the calendar, Chodesh HaMeresh Kedoshim. In other words, so all the Torah portions, before Parsha Chodesh, what is it talking about? It's talking about the revelations of the world. Hashem created the world, it's His world, and all the revelations took place in God's world. And from starting with Parsha Chodesh, and thereon, it talks about the revelations of the Torah, which is higher than the revelations of the world. And in order that you should have the revelations of the Torah, you first have to have the preparation of, unfortunately, going into exile in Egypt and going out of Egypt. And that's why the minute we left Egypt, and again, like he's going to explain later, what does it mean the minute we left Egypt? Because technically we received it before. So we have as a preparation to receiving the Torah, and we have the Parshas HaChodesh, which starts the beginning of all the revelations of the Torah. So the Rebbe is saying over here is as follows. That Parshas HaChodesh, that is the beginning of the Torah. And the fact that the Torah should have started with Parshas HaChodesh. The only reason why it started with everything before is because God wanted to establish ownership of the world. And because He has ownership of the world, He can give the land of Israel to whoever He wants. So, in other words, basically, everything until Parshas HaChodesh is talking about God's revelation in the world. Parshas HaChodesh starts something new, the revelation of God through Torah. And in order to receive the Torah, we have to, unfortunately, have to go, we're in exile in Egypt, and we have to leave Egypt, and we have to go to Mount Torah, and now we're getting the first piece of Torah. Now, so in other words, we've seen clearly there's a major difference between the revelation of God in the world and the revelation of God through Torah. So in order to understand the tremendous quality of the revelation of Torah, so first he explains the quality of the revelation of God in the world. Because the fact is like this, the revelation in the world is higher than the world. So he's saying there's three levels here. There's world, the world, physical world. Then there's God being revealed in the world, that's already an upgrade. And then there's God being revealed through Torah. Three levels. In other words, what does that mean? He explains as follows. The world is a place which is finite. You can measure it from here to there. It takes time to go from one place to the other. In other words, just like the heaven and the earth down here, literally this physical world, it's finite. It's a finite world. As we know, it says to go from the earth to the heaven, it takes 500 years. And the width of every heaven, etc. The same thing also, in reference to heaven and earth, in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, even the spiritual worlds, is also finite. Now, the source of the finite in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, what's the source that everything is finite, comes from the vessels of the world of Atzilut. In other words, what's the source of the fact that there's limitations in the world? It comes from the vessel of the world of Atzilut. So what do you see from here? That even the vessels of the world of Atzilut, and if you know, the world of Atzilut is a godly world, it's Eitzel, it's close to Hashem, but even though it's godly, already in the vessels of Atzilut, you have limitations. It's finite. So that is the world. The world is finite. The source comes from the vessels of Atzilut. However, the revelation, now we're talking about the second level, the revelation in the worlds. What does it mean, the revelation in the worlds? It's referring to the light. And the Kabbalistic terminology is called the Oyer HaKav, the light of the line that comes into the world. And what is the source of the revelation, again, which comes from the light of the Kav? The source is, and I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate, Asmus Oyer Ein Sof, from the essence of the infinite light of before the Tzimtzum. And that is, obviously in that level, it's infinite. But because it came into the vessels, it comes in to some kind of form and a shape and it's divided up. Now, but this that it comes into a vessel and it gets different, it has a shape and has a form, it has its limitations. Because the fact is, even on its own, before it came into the vessels, it's also finite. Why is that? Because this, when it comes down from the infinite light, of before the Tzimtzum? How does it come down to this world? It comes through, it has to pass through a Tzimtzum. It has to pass through a contraction of light. So when it goes through the Tzimtzum, the contraction of light, it starts getting into a finite level where you can start measuring it based on the vessels and the worlds it has to go into. And therefore, after it comes in to the world, through many, many different Tzimtzumim and many, many different layers of concealment and different levels, which is again even before the world of Atzilus, but then it comes into the vessels of Atzilus, and it comes in there. So then it comes in a finite space, and through that it gets drawn down through the screen, so to speak, between the world of Atzilus and Bria, even into, so to speak, in this world, to give them an existence which is a finite existence now. So this is deep stuff. So Derba is saying is like this. You have the physical world. The physical world is finite. What's the source of the physical world that's finite? From the vessels of Atzilut. That's the world. Then you have the revelation in the world which comes from the Eurekav, and that comes from the light before the Tzimtzum. So if that's the case, how come it's finite? Because when it goes through all the Tzimtzumim and all the different levels, so it becomes finite that's something we can connect to, because we're finite people. However, in its sources, its source is much higher. So another thing is, the world source is the vessels of Attilus. The light source is in the light before the Tzimtzum. And it goes on to explain ourselves. So this is why, when he says in the Chassidic discourse that the revelation in the worlds, which again, that's the second level, comes from where? The light of the Kaab that comes in it. So why is he saying that? Because he wants to show you the tremendous idea that even the revelation in the worlds is also infinite. So it's, on one hand, it's finite. On one hand, it's coming from before the Tzimtzum, from which is infinite. So how do the two go together? It explains like this. How could it be that it could be infinite, but then it comes finite? And he explains as follows. Since the light of the Kav, I'll say in Hebrew, the Eira Kav, it's always connected to its source. What's its source, like we learned before? In the infinite light before the Tzimtzum. Now, even though it's connected through and it went through a Tzimtzum, but nevertheless, even after it goes through the Tzimtzum, it still remains connected to its source, and it has a component of its source. So therefore, even after this infinite light that went through the Tzimtzumim, so even afterwards, when it goes into a vessel, and it goes into an internal light, because the fact is, it gives it its life force, it doesn't get really affected by it. And it stays connected to its source. So yes, it comes into a vessel that's finite, but the vessel doesn't have an impact on it. It stays true to its source. Now, this, that the light comes into the vessel and it gets involved in an internal way, just like, for example, the energy of the soul that comes into the body where it gets involved in the internal way. So what really is, it's reference really to the vessel. The vessel part is finite. In other words, the vessel receives its light from the light in an internal way, just like that the body receives it from the soul. So from the vessel perspective, yeah, it receives a light that it can handle it. But from the light perspective, even after it goes into a finite vessel, it still remains disconnected. And the same thing applies with creation in the world. In other words, the energy that exists in the created beings, which is in the level of light, which basically is an array of the light of the Oyer HaKav, that line that comes in. So even though it comes into the thing into the thing that was created, but nevertheless it stays disconnected. And not only that, take it a step deeper, that even the energy and the things that were created, so you have in there of the light, which is actually infinite. So again, there's two parts. When the world, again, comes from the vessels of Atzilus, that's finite. The light that comes into vessels, so the vessel receives something that it can handle, but the light remains true to its source. So it's almost like two opposite, and Derba explains powerfully. The connection of the energy of the light with the body, and the body, we know the source is from the vessel. It's literally, you're connecting two opposites. I mean, it's hard to comprehend it, that you can have two opposites. Like, for example, it's either right or it's left. And here you're saying it's right and left together. What do you mean? That this light, on one hand, goes into a vessel, and the vessel feels it's finite. On the other hand, the light remains loyal to its infinite part. Now, this is all in reference to the revelation in the world, which we call the Oyer HaKav, that comes in the world. And the way it goes into the vessel and into the worlds. How much more so the light before it comes into the vessel and before it comes in the world. Because the revealed part in the world is also this level. And that level is obviously infinite. Now, so why are you calling it finite? If you're saying it's really infinite, that's because when it went past through the Tzimtzum, so now it became finite and it's measured that the world can receive it. So it's all about the world receiving it, but the light really didn't change. So far we learned two levels. The world energy comes from the vessels of Atzilus. That's finite. Then you have the light in the world, which comes from the light, which is connected always to its source. So there's two components, almost like two opposites. On one hand, when it comes into the vessel receives and experiences a finite light. But the light didn't change. The light is still infinite and still connected to its source. And that's the light that comes in the world. But from here you see the tremendous upgrade and the tremendous quality and the tremendous power and energy of the revelation of Torah, which is higher than the revelation of the worlds. You're saying, how can you get stronger than that? And he explains. Because when you learn Torah, Torah has within it, and what gets revealed through Torah is not only the light, but the, and I'll say it in Hebrew, Atzmus Oyer Ein Sof Shelifnei HaTzimtzum, the essence of the infinite light before the Tzimtzum. Powerful. So now let's recap before we go further and deeper into this. You have the world that gets its energy from the finite light. It's finite, comes from Kelam HaMatzilut. You have the light in the world that comes from where? From the Oyer HaKav, which it obviously comes from before the Tzimtzum. Then through the Tzimtzum, there's two components. On one hand, the vessel receives a finite package, but on the other hand, the light stays true to its source. The Oyer HaTorah is totally connected to the essence of the infinite light. And he continues on this discourse to explain that this, that the Kav, which we said on one hand is connected to the infinite part, and on the other hand it goes into a vessel which is finite, and even though it comes through a Tzimtzum, but nevertheless it's also sourced in the Oyer Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum. Why is that? Because when Hashem decided to create the world, this is before any Tzimtzum, so he had a vision before the Tzimtzum, everything is going to be afterwards. How can that be? Because he had a plan before the Tzimtzum how the world is going to exist the way he wanted it to be. And he explains in the Chassidic discourse that even the source of Hashem's plan of a finite world, and this was taking place before the Tzimtzum, it means he had a plan in potential, or like in his will, it applies where? To all the revelations in the world. So even though that the light of before the Tzimtzum has no comparison to the world, you're talking about infinite light. And in order for it to come down, we want it to come down to this world, that the light should have some kind of a connection to the world, the Oyer HaKav. So there had to be a component where there was a Tzimtzum where literally the light was cleared off. But nevertheless, in the essence of Hashem, so to speak, it's a revelation which has a connection to the world. So from here we see even greater the revelation that takes place in the Torah. Because through Torah, you literally have the revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, Atzmus Oyer Ein Sof, which is even higher of any connection to the world. So what I'm saying is that even a step deeper is like this. The Oyer HaKav, even though its source is in the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, but it's over there where Hashem already had a vision. So even though it's infinite, but he had a vision for the world. Torah is even higher than that vision for the world. And you can say that this study explains in the Chassidic discourse that the intent of Hashem giving the Torah is to draw down into this world the infinite light of before the Tzimtzum. In Hebrew, the intent of the Torah was to draw in Oyer and Sofer before the Tzimtzum. Even though that the upgrade of Torah is that even in the infinite light of before the Tzimtzum, guess what gets drawn in there? The revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which has a connection to the world. So what's the point? The point is that even when you draw in that light, which has a connection to the world, it has some kind, it comes through a Tzimtzum. Now, even though that the Tzimtzum that took place in this light is called the first Tzimtzum, the first contraction, but nevertheless, it's brought down in many places in Chassidut, that even before the first Tzimtzum, there were many, many more contractions of light. It wasn't only Tzimtzum Rishon. Before that, there was also Tzimtzumim. In other words, besides the fact that drawing down the light, which has some kind of connection to the world, and it's coming down from a light which is above the connection to the world, and it comes through that symptom, but nevertheless, even that light that comes in also has some kind of symptom. There has to be some kind of contraction of light from one level to the next. Why is that? Because even this light, the light which has no connection to the world, but nevertheless, it's being drawn down to the world. And beforehand, it was connected, and it was part of the essence of Hashem. And especially, you can say that when we say that it was in part of the essence of Hashem, and it was means it's connect. It was part of the essence of Hashem, and where there's no level of light. So what do you see from there? That drawing down the light in a place where it gets revealed. How does it come? Ultimately, everything comes through a Tzimtzum. So even the highest level of light that he's saying, the source of the Erkav is from the highest place, but ultimately there are some Tzimtzumim. However, based on this Rebbe said, you can say that this that he says in the Chassidic discourse, that the intent of giving the Torah, what's the old intent is? To draw in the light of before the Tzimtzum. What is he trying to say? Not only to the light before the first Tzimtzum, but even before any Tzimtzum that took place. So what Rebbe is now explaining a step further and a step deeper is that even the Tzimtzum that existed before the Tzimtzum Rishon is only in reference to the light that came into the world. However, the light that comes into the Torah, and this is amazing because we learn Torah, comes from the light before any Tzimtzum, not Tzimtzum Rishon, before Tzimtzum. It's connected literally to the essence of Hashem. So when you learn Torah, you're literally connecting to the essence of Hashem. So based on this, Rebbe explains, now we're going to explain why he says in the Chassidic discourse that Parshas HaChodesh was said right after we left Egypt. But see, what's the question? Like we brought it before already. It says specifically in the verse, when did Hashem say Parshas HaChodesh? In Egypt. Not only in the Torah is it before we left Egypt, but it says Hashem told them while we were in Egypt. So what does it mean when he's saying that Parshas HaChodesh was told us after we left Egypt? So he explains over here as follows. This that the Rebbe Rashab explains in the Chassidic discourse, that Parshas HaChodesh was said when? After we left Egypt. What does he mean? He means to say after we learned about the instruction and the story of going out of Egypt, the way the story is said in the Torah. In other words, after Hashem gave all the commandments in the Torah, to who? To Paroi. They should chant the Jewish people out of Egypt. Up until literally the last warning of the 10th plague, and right after Paroi said that everyone should leave. So what happened right after that? Then we had Parshas HaChodesh. So what they were saying is like this. Until Parshas HaChodesh, what happened before that? So you have from the creation of the world, etc. But you have where Hashem, you have the story where Hashem instructed Paroi to let the people leave. One warning, another warning, that each plague, until finally he told them about the 10th plague, and then Paroi let the Jewish people leave. So technically it took a while to leave. But the story of the Torah, where Hashem instructs Paroi, took place before Parshas HaChodesh. And then we have now Parshas HaChodesh. What does that mean? Rebbe explains in this. The upgrade of the revelation of Torah over the revelation in the world, like he explained in the Chassidic discourse, it's also in reference to the revelation of the world the way it's in the Torah. So notice what we learned till now. There's the world, finite. There's the revelation in the world, which comes from the Erev Kav, which comes from before the Tzimtzum. And it's two, there's two components. There's part where it comes into a finite world, but the Erev is, the light is connected to the infinite power of Hashem. And then you have the light of the Torah, which is totally connected to the infinite power of Hashem. The story about us going out of Egypt, which is dealing with the light of Hashem in the world. It's a world of Egypt. We have to go out. That is like the level of the light of Hashem in the world. And the light of Torah is off the charts. And that's why he brings in the Chassidic discourse, where Rashi says that the truth is the Torah should have started where HaKadosh Elohim. And why did he start in Bereishis? Why is that? Because even the part where the Torah says Bereishis Bar beginning Hashem created the world, and also you have the stories of the patriarchs and the matriarchs, the way they are in Torah, it's only introduction to the ultimate of Parshas HaKadosh, because Parshas HaKadosh, that's where the heavy revelation of Torah begins. And therefore, even in reference to going out of Egypt, which is a preparation for Matan Torah, so it's talking about going out of Egypt the way it's in the Torah. So based on this, Rebbe explains, and he beautifully, and he says like this, he'd like to connect this, in other words, the revelation of Torah, which is higher than the revelation in the world, even the way the revelation in the world is spoken about in Torah. And he liked to connect to what we explained before, that what is the revelation of Torah? I'll say it in Hebrew. Atzmus Oirein Soif Shalamayla Mekol Tzimtzumim. The essence of the infinite light, which is higher than any Tzimtzum, all the Tzimtzumim that happened afterwards. Torah is connected to that level. And even the contractions that took place after the first Tzimtzum. It means there's nothing. It's the essence of the infinite light. Torah is connected to the highest level. So you want, based on what it's known, that the whole Torah, even the stories in the Torah, come before the world. What does it mean it comes before the world? Because where does the world start from? The world starts from the first contraction of light. The Torah which comes before is in the Iron Sefer from before the Tzimtzum. Not only that, you can say that since even in the light before the Tzimtzum, you already have the beginning of the source of the finite of the world, which basically is the Torah that comes before the world. That is in the level of light, of light before it has any connection to the world. And that also applies to the stories in the Torah, which is before Parsha Chodesh. So what's the power of Parsha Chodesh, which is the main part of the Torah, is the revelation of the essence of the infinite light before any contraction, before any tzimtzumim. So now, based on this, Rebbe explains beautifully, he says like, that's why it says, a chodesh is alechem. This month is Rosh Chodesh. Why is that? Because on Chodesh Nisan, what happened then? We got the revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem through this mitzvah. The way it's in the Torah. So therefore, since what took place, HaChodesh is Alechem, this is the month, that's Rosh Chodesh, which means right now you have the tremendous revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. So what happens is when Chodesh Nishan comes, guess what? You cannot go ahead and add a month to the year. Why? Because what is year? Year is time. Time is finite. It means it's referring to a light which has to do with the world. And since, how do you draw down a light which is connected to the world? It comes through Mayim Nukvim, by us doing our part. So therefore, we're able to add a month in the year for specific reasons. So therefore that the Mayim Nukvim should be in an appropriate place. So that's as long as we have the power. But what happens when Chodesh Nisan comes along? And now you have the revelation of what? Of the Atzmus Ein Sof, the essence of the infinite power of Hashem, which is higher than anything that we can achieve. So how can you go ahead and play with the year? Like he explains at length, because year is finite. Once you're in infinite, who plays with years? Who plays with finite? And that's why, because HaChodesh Lechem HaRish Chodeshim is connected to the Atzmus Ein Sof, that's why Chodesh Nisan, the month of Nisan, is the month of redemption. Because as we know, in Nisan, the month of Nisan, we went out of Egypt. And in the month of Nisan, we're going to go out of Galut, we're going to go out of exile. Because redemption means that then we're not going to have to go ahead and hide and shy away from anything. We're going to have the full revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem without any garments. So Chodesh Nisan is the month for the greatest miracles. And Rebbe finished up and he said, this should be the will of Hashem. This should happen very, very quickly. In the month of Nisan of this year, and we'll eat in the temple from the different sacrifices, from the Zochim and the Psachim, and most importantly, we should do it mitoch simcha v'tuv levav, with tremendous joy and with gladness of our heart. So here again, we have another powerful, powerful, beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. Obviously, pretty, pretty deep, some Kabbalistic ideas, but the Rebbe is teaching us, basically, there's the world, which is a finite world. There's the light of God, which is in the world, which, again, has two components. On one hand, it's connected to the finite world, but its source is infinite. But through learning Torah, we can literally connect to the infinite. And more importantly, that practically, is when the month comes of Nisan, we have this powerful revelation. And that's why you can't go ahead and add anything to the year. But the point is, that's why we have the redemption this month. So let's hope and pray, like the Rebbe says, we'll have the redemption in this month, and we'll all go to Eretz Yisrael. We'll celebrate Mashiach Tzidkenu, and most importantly, it should be done b'simcha v'tuv levav. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.